Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Machuana, good afternoon to you, sir.
Afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing just fine. How is it that side?
Ah, man, fantastic. The weather is great again, and all is good. I hope that you've spent your day well, though.
Yeah, so far so good. No complaints.
Lovely. Now let's talk about, because we've talked about the importance of Christian ethics in our relationships with our employers, employees, colleagues, mm-hmm. as well as our responsibility to our investors, etc. So today, we want to discuss how to maintain ethical standards in our relations with customers and clients, as well as, you know, regarding some socio-political issues as well. So, mm-hmm. Pastor, please do speak to us about good business practices in relation to our customers or clients.
Okay, yeah, there are quite a number of them. There are quite a number of practices that are very imperative in maintaining good relations. You know, I've actually seen in some, maybe are they shops, they are boutiques, where there are stickers that are written, no returns. You know, some get them, no exchanges, you know, no refunds.
Mm.
Ever since I came across this one, it was written, you break, you pay. You know, break, you pay. You know, those are some of the things that in a way, they may scare away in some sense some customers. So there's an issue of respect, you know, just respecting the customer, you know, valuing their time, even their opinions, even their privacy. You know, you come to a shop or you come to a bank where you can spend almost the entire day in a queue. You are not being well served. You know, that won't be good ethics at all.
Mm.
Even the way the business operator communicates with the customers, especially in some countries, this part of the world, when you go to some government offices, you know, when you want to collect passports, you want to collect birth certificates, even public institutions like hospitals, you know, there are some kind of language that is used in some places, not all the places. That is not very good. You know, even the quality of the service, you know, service delivery, you know, high standards are expected. So these are some of the practices that are very imperative when you want to maintain good relations between a service provider and a customer. Even responsiveness, how you respond when maybe somebody calls, be it the police, you know, call 911, then there is not that quick response, be it a fire engine or ambulance or whatever, you know. Responsiveness is very key. Another key element can be, we can talk of empathy. Empathy is very critical, understanding and acknowledging the needs of the customer, you know. Among many others, fairness, equitable, you know, treatment, and no discrimination. You get to a shop, you know, I remember I attended college as one of these universities in Southern Africa. You know, that country, that area is rife in tribalism. You know, so there was a university shop. So I was in front, but now the lady was serving. We came from different tribal backgrounds. She had no change for me, but she had a change for someone who was behind me, who was from her tribal, you know, lines. So that is not good ethical, you know, service to your customers, among many others.
Yeah, true. Now I've heard, and I'm sure that you and many others from our listeners have heard the statement, the customer is always right. How does this relate to business ethics?
The customer is always right, you know. I think what led to that statement is that it is the customer who brings money, and it is the customer who makes you tick. You know, so whatever that customer would have done, he should be right, because at the end of the day, you're the one who's supposed to be benefiting from the customer. Nevertheless, that is true, but it doesn't necessarily mean now that you kind of blindly agree with whatever that the customer says.
You
don't need to be principled. Don't need to agree with anything just because we are saying that person is a king, is bringing some money. But even compromise on ethical standards, you don't have to do that. Because we are saying this person is a king, then you compromise on your ethical standards.
True.
You know, even allowing, you know, abusive and disrespectful behavior, you know, that cannot be tolerated in an ethical society. Yes, we can say they are kings, you know, we need to be accountable to them. We need to, you know, I spoke about empathy, even responsiveness, but they must not, or they should not now take that as an advantage and kind of not pay back in terms of fairness. You know, yes, they are kings, but we don't need to turn a blind eye on unethical movements.
True. You know, talking about that in terms of ethics and business, there's a story that broke out in the U.S. where a bakery owner faced some trouble when he refused to bake a wedding cake for the same-sex, wedding.
Mm.
And, because it went against his Christian beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Of course, he was in hot water because of that. Now, in today's society of the cancel culture and the legal ramifications for perceived discrimination, how does one tackle mm-hmm. such hurdles?
That part is not an easy one. It's very difficult. Maybe in some countries it's kind of tolerated, but in some other countries, especially in the first world country, actually you can be sued, you can be arrested for. Yeah. You know, like what you mentioned in a cancel culture society, you know, where some religions are not respected, some cultures are not respected. And, even I can give an example of a pastor, you know, who got in trouble, like what you're mentioning, for refusing to officiate at a gay marriage. Yeah, he got in trouble. He said, no, the couple now are saying you are a marriage officer. And, that title, that office was given to you by the government. And the government in our country tolerates gay marriages, you know. So why are you refusing us to officiate on our wedding? So it's not very easy, but at the end of the day, like what I said before, you just need to be principled. I don't know now if it is a legal statute that you should be arrested for refusing. Maybe letting go of such a profession may be the best way if there are legal ramifications to it, you know. But you know, one thing that I like in our institution, Seventh-day Adventist Church, there's a department that is called Power, Public Affairs and Religious Liberty. That is its responsibility now. The public affairs element, you know, engaging with the civic leaders, you know, the religious liberty now, freedom of worship. You know, I've got freedom of worship. You know, so you cannot force me to do what is contrary to my beliefs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But when it becomes law now, that is when it's dangerous now. That is when it will be very dangerous. But in any country, I think, maybe except a few, there's what is called a religious liberty. You know, everyone is free to worship the way that they want, you know. Yeah, so it's not very, very, very easy to especially there are countries that have got legal stages on this one, you know. Yeah, it's quite a challenge. It's quite a challenge.
Now, you know, I'm talking about this because I think it affects your business as well as a pastor, especially if you're a marriage officer, because you may be called mm-hmm. upon by a same-sex, relationship, and they would mm-hmm. want you to marry them. And should you refuse, mm-hmm. you are going to be in trouble. You're going to be taken to court because they prefer that you be the one who marries them because they like your style, etc., etc., and you discriminate mm-hmm. them because of their choices. And so you could actually land up in court because of that. And with a statement that says customer is always right, those are customers, and they're going to give you a fee. You're not going to do that marriage for free. I think it becomes a bit of a, because we live in a world now where everything is so much leaning on constitutionalism and legalism, yeah. etc. of our countries. And yet some of these things are actually a taboo in as far as God is concerned, eh?
Yes. That's why I said it now becomes a very serious challenge when it has been put into law. You know, when it's put into law, then yay. But I think there are grounds maybe to refuse that if that sort of a country upholds the freedom of worship of different religious institutions. If they uphold that, then that's the getaway. But if they don't, then it would be very unfortunate. You can actually be sued just for denying to do something that is contrary to your beliefs. So I don't know, maybe that's where the powers that be can come in and stand for you, but you can actually be sued and be incarcerated for that. You know, it's very unfortunate there are countries that have those things as law.
True.
You know. Yeah, yeah. It's
so,
very unfortunate.
So what is one who is practicing to do as I let you go?
The one who's practicing to...
Yeah, the one who's a practicing pastor, the one who's a business owner, but something is going against your ethics and unfortunately you're bound by law to actually do it. Do you go and pray and say, Lord, well, I don't have a choice here. I'm going to have to marry these people. I'm going to have to sell this to these people. But you know I'm in a corner, Lord, and you know, Lord, that I don't agree with this. Unfortunately, I'm just going to have to do it. What do you do? What do you do?
Yeah, like what I said before, no compromise.
No compromise. Yeah.
It's better to let go of that. Because if you are a pastor, and it's not a prerequisite to be a marriage officer for you to be a pastor. You can let go of that certificate of being a marriage officer and continue with your pastoral work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, eliminate that element which is dangerous to your profession
or to
your calling. Then stick to shepherding. Let those ones who wed, let them go somewhere else. No compromise.
Or be like Paul, as you were saying, no compromise. If it's jail time, then it's jail time.
Yeah, it's jail time, but don't invite jail.
Try and be smart and avoid it, eh?
Try and be smart and avoid it, yes.
Pastor,
God will tell you, no, on this issue, I was not with you. You decided to go to jail on your own. So you could avoid
Pastor Machwana, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Very much welcome.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.